and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 338. How are we all doing? Particularly Johnny, after his jab. And he's in first, so he's clearly in fine fettle.
I was just about to say that. He survived.
Did you come out at the other end okay, Jonathan? Ooh, can't wait to hear all about it. And which one was it, obviously? I think it'll be the AstraZeneca one. I think all Mike's hard work and us cancelling our holiday. You're not typing with your third arm, it's having a rest. Pfizered. You were Pfizered.
Ooh.
Oh, dear. The opposition.
No, they're not the opposition.
Yeah, so you keep saying.
The opposition is the COVID virus.
Oh, right, OK.
We're all on the same team.
Good grief, somebody's drunk the Kool-Aid.
You said that last time I said it.
Yes. Hello, Anthony. So, slowly but surely, our MacBiters. What are you doing, young lady?
Going for a walk.
Yes, but she's on the hoof. Look at her.
Right, should we go for a walk?
Nose in everything.
Come on.
You see what you're doing? Come on. She's heading out for a late trot. Mike had a very strange webinar time. Hello, Paul. Hello, Anthony. So what's going on then, apart from the Pfizering? Did it hurt? Were they on time? Did you have to lie down? Any side effects? We need to know. Reveal all, Jonathan. Oh, you're the first one, I think. No, you and Anthony, first ones in the UK from the MacBytes crew. I wonder when we'll all be done. They're saying the end of March. No, April. Don't think they mentioned this year, though. Just saying. Anyway, fill us in. Did you see the news today? I love rumours. February's a great month for rumours. It's all complete balderdash, the majority of it. Oh, they were amazing. Literally in and out 20 minutes. You all have to wait 15 minutes after. Is that in case that your third arm does appear, Jonathan, and your second head? Oh, listen to her. There she goes. With Daddy saying, be quiet, Lola. Yes, today's rumour for the iPhone 13, which hasn't even been confirmed yet, because, I mean, would they go for a 13? Would that be deemed unlucky? Always on iPhone screen. Yay or nay? Let me know. You in for that or not? Hello, Tony. Bit of a sore arm. I think you're reacting like you do when you've had the flu jab. Little bit yucky. It'll pass in 24 hours and a good night's sleep. You mean you didn't have a nap? I mean, that's a given, Jonathan. If you've had your jab, you need a nap. You don't know how much of that's in your head after hearing of all the people reacting. Well, there is that as well, isn't there? Yes, there is that aspect to it, that you are honed and waiting for it. I'd be waiting to drop, so I really need to not think about it full stop. But then it's not coming my way anytime soon, is it? Anthony didn't have to wait. Think you'd do if you drove yourself. Well, I thought Jonathan was walking. Hello, Tracy. How are you doing? Hello, Paul. No vaccines there yet. Now, that was were they approved late? Because, you know, over here it was just like, yeah, that's fine, approved. It makes you wonder. It's just panned out rather well for them. I have kept away taking Kim's sage advice from the news all day. The only news I've looked at is Apple News, hence the always-on iPhone screen. Who is a yay for that and who is a nay for that? I'm in a why for that. Because you could leave your phone on now if you wanted. What would be the benefit in actually having it on? And what does on mean? And always on screen, do you mean it's unlocked? Or is it just displaying some kind of information? I'm not at all sure about what you would use that for. But that could just be me. Tell me what you think. Oh, Anthony, Jonathan drove. Was that your standard GP, Jonathan, or was it some kind of COVID collective? Where they do that all day, every day, and not much else. There's a counter on the Sky News page that I haven't frequented for a couple of days. And it literally moves round as you're watching it. And the last time I saw it, I think it was up to 15.3 million. And, you know, you see it going round. And although I don't think they are doing 24 hours yet, there's more than like 5 a second getting it, which is pretty amazing. A long queue, but everyone was 2 metres apart. That's good, particularly given that the medics are saying they'd like us to carry on with that. Can't see that happening. I mean, how can you have football matches in theatres like that? Every other seat? But you can't do that at football. You might be able to at the theatre, but not with season tickets. Because like Mike and I was next to each other. Now, we'd be okay because we're in the same household. But I just don't see that working because, like, the couple that would be in front of us, they would be wanting to be sitting next to each other, which they could, but they couldn't sit that close to us. Oh, no, that'd cause a riot at a football match. Wasn't your standard GP? GPs are assigned vaccination centres to send them to. You didn't go to the Etihad? You didn't go to the Etihad? Or you did go? I heard it was the Etihad. I heard a friend of mine whose wife is a medic of some description. I think she's a midwife. She got the call and they live Rainford Way, which is sort of between Warrington and Liverpool. So about 38, 40 miles away. And she got allocated the Etihad as well. So that must be a huge operation going on there. Is there a solution for a disappearing cursor in a Mac? Where is it? When is it disappearing, Tracy? What are you doing and when is it disappearing? The cursor in the Mac now is one of my major bugbears with it. It used to be fabulous. It now is doing its own thing. And part of its own thing is disappearing, which annoys me no end. Because I always know where my cursor was, where I left it. But the Mac moves it. It fades it out. So right now I'm looking at the screen, no cursor. I will move it fractionally and it will come back. It's a feature, not a bug. Obviously, in my mind, it's a bug, not a feature. So tell me when and what you're doing. So Anthony's GP is a part of a group, 2 practices within the group, designated vaccination centres. I guess it depends where you are. Jonathan was sent to the Vallon Centre, 1/2 mile away. That's ridiculous when you can see the Etihad from your bedroom window. And this woman that's 40 miles away gets sent there. Crazy, crazy. Yes, if you shake the mouse back and forth, it will come back. And it will even, if you've got the option turned on, make it much, much bigger so you can see it. But I'm with Tracy. It shouldn't disappear in the first place. There is a workaround with an app where it puts a circle around it, which I actually use when I'm editing audio because it goes to a T-bar and then totally disappears because the T-bar goes over the grey background and you can't see it even if you can see it if you're with me. So I change the cursor with an app and that works well. Let me catch up here. General navigation, mostly when you hop from PDF expert to a finished publisher and back. Yeah, I think it's a feature. It's hard to explain what they've done with it, but it doesn't feel right. They did it about, five or six macOS revisions back. Until that point, I knew exactly where my mouse pointer was at all times. And I said to Mike, the mouse pointer is disappearing. You know, it's to make it muggle friendly. Although if a muggle can't see their cursor, I really don't see how that's a help. And then when you move it, it springs back to life. But if you've got 3 27-inch monitors like I do, it's like, where is it? I can't quite see it. So I have this app that puts a circle around it in bright red, which helps enormously when I'm editing, because then I know exactly where it is. But I haven't found a fix that's like, oh, yeah, if you just change this option, it goes back to what it used to do, which is so, so annoying. They really shouldn't change stuff like that, that a muggle wouldn't really notice. If they did, they probably wouldn't really like it. And the power users amongst us are like, what are you doing? Those are the kind of things I don't think they should fix because they're really not broken. Congratulations, Kim. Operation successful. And your cursor leaves when you're in a screen freeze, only a minor one. I think it's it does that with everybody these days. It's I much prefer the way it used to work. I actually used to have an app. What was it called? It had the most ludicrous name. When you came to install it, was like, oh, what was that app called? But it had a single job, which was to hide your cursor and then bring it back. There was another app after that called Mouse Hider. And the reason that these apps were there was when a video was playing, people didn't want their mouse cursor, their mouse pointer visible. So these apps were available that you could configure them that automatically when you started playing a video, the mouse pointer disappeared. I guess that's where Apple got the idea from and then Sherlocked it. And we've ended up where we're at now. But that's not great as far as I'm concerned. There's a couple of other things that have come out this week as well, where we've now got Mac apps looking like iOS apps, which never pleases me. But anyway, I'm fascinated to hear about this. Who wants an always-on iPhone screen? Let me know. Come on, in the chat, let me know. I'm really not feeling the love with that. If I wanted it on, it would be probably to play a video, watch a football match, something like that. Other than that, I really can't see much that I'd use it for. But if you would, let me know. What's the point of it being always in your pocket? Well, you might want to, I would say FaceTime, Jonathan, but maybe butt time. Who knows? I can understand it if it's on a desk, but then I would think, what's on the screen? When you say always on, what do you mean by always on? With what on it? Because there's a lock screen. And if it's always on, i.e. you can get to it, and then there's no lock screen, then that's not secure. So I really don't know. I'm reckoning this one could be a load of hooey. I do remember when they announced that they were going to be always on with the Apple Watch. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Oh, I'm going to buy one. I love this. And honestly, after I thought about it for literally no more than 5 minutes, I thought you'd never use that. And plus the fact, you know that feature, which I think is the default, on your Apple Watch, it's got kind of motion detection. So if you were to like move your wrist so you're looking at your watch, the idea is it turns on that. The other mode of that is where you put on, is it theatre mode? I call it church mode. The little faces, the drama faces. And then you actually have to tap the screen to make it active. That's what I have mine set to all the time. Because what I was finding was, when I was at church particularly, not actually during the service, which was a blessing, if you pardon the pun, but afterwards in the parish centre, I'm running round when Mike was doing the tea and coffee, doing Facebook Lives. And obviously I'm moving my hand and the watch comes on. And I've got people saying, what's that? What's that number there mean? What does this mean? And I'm like, you nosy mare. You're like, how many calories you've burnt in the last hour? What's it got to do with you? I wouldn't dream of being so rude, but people are. So I decided if it was on all the time, seriously, what would the point be? So I turned it off. I just left it as it was. I actually didn't buy that watch. Whereas when it was talked about, well, maybe they'd be always on, I was like, oh, I'll buy that. Yeah, that's great. But actually, no. What I would have to have done was change the face so it was one that people couldn't actually understand. I pretty much go between two faces. There's the one with the rings on it. So I would call that digital with the rings. And then next to it, it's got the calorie count, the minutes of exercise and the hours stood. That one. And the other one I use is the one that's got the most complications. So it's got one in each corner and it's got four in the middle. And I think I'd have to change it to that one. Now, it does actually show you a lot. I mean, I've even got one. I've got the battery in the top left. I've got dew in the top right, which is a reminder type thing. Why are you doing that? Right. I've got the calendar things, the health app, drafts, the health three, the little rings in the lower right, and the alarm thing in the lower left. So I could get to everything that I want to get to. That wouldn't be a problem. I just don't like people asking questions. Is that just me? Sounds like a battery drain. Well, that's the other thing. You know, if my battery on my watch lasts a long time, because it isn't turning on every time I move my wrist. So I wouldn't really want that with my phone. So I have really, if there was a use case that somebody could say, ah, but you can do this, they'd be like, ah, I'm with you. But I can't think of one. I have iPads that I have on the majority of the day. Maybe on the news site, or I've got videos on it or something like that. But no, not feeling the love for a phone to be doing that. I'd rather have the battery life. So if I turn it off and I get better battery life, that's awesome. Then that's what I'll do. Just make the battery life better and be done. If it solved the issue of the face recognition when flat on the desk, that'd be really good. Oh, Tony, I feel your pain. I've got iPads here. My favourite iPad is my 10.5. I've got an 11, which uses face recognition, but it kind of makes sense on that one because there's a cover on it. But my other iPads are in a gel-backed case, and I've got them flat on the desk. And I can reach across and turn, push the button once to turn them on, and then just put my finger on it again, and it's open, and it's flat on the desk, and it's not looking at me. But the ones that are Face ID only, you know, you're struggling with one hand because you've got the dog and you're covered in dog shampoo in the other hand, and you've not got two hands to pick it up. And you know, the other one, you could have just reached out and it would have done it, only it didn't with the new one. So I totally feel your pain. We should design these things, Tony. It should at least be an option, particularly in these mask wearing times. So it's not caused Anthony a problem ever going off. Oh, that's what it's for. Do you mean the two faces? That one is actually useful, having turned that one on. But I just have that on all the time. So my watch is always on silent, and it's always got the happy faces on it, which I call church mode. The one thing on there that I find much more useful than I ever thought I would was in the night, staggering around and making sure I don't tread on the dog, there's a torch on there. And it's a little bit weird in my mind that you tap it and it's red. But you can, if you swipe twice to the left, you can actually turn on a useful white torch that is actually quite useful. I was surprised. Much more useful than I thought and expected it to be. Good night, Jonathan. You wear sleeves, not bothered about the watch being covered up most of the time. People, I think the problem with this always on business, on the watch, I think it does make sense with the watch, much more than the phone. But the thing that makes me smile is it's not actually the watch, is it, that's causing the problem. It's people that are the problem, which I've been saying for the last year. I just think, like, there's no way I would ever ask a question of anybody to make them feel uncomfortable. And you never know what is a trigger for somebody. So steer away from anything that could upset, offend them or trigger them in some kind of way. And I think if you've got stats showing on your watch and they're just to you, if you don't know what the rings mean, you'd work out the top one was the time. That's not difficult. The other three, I don't think you would know. And until I got a watch, I didn't really understand it. But to somebody, you know, if I was looking at like an Android watch and didn't have a clue, I would not ask that because it's very personal to somebody for a start. And, you know, two, you don't know what triggers people. Honest to God, I mean, you say good morning to some people and that triggers them. So I just steer away from it. I wouldn't dream of it. But I think that's probably why I found people incredibly rude when they've got, you know, like, my dad used to do this to the point that my mother stopped us eating together. There was just something with him. He just could not stop it, or he was doing it deliberately. He'd wander in and you'd be sat at the dinner table having your dinner. And Mum always said it was very difficult. Luckily, there was only the three of us. I haven't got any brothers and sisters, which would have just made it a million times worse. But Dad wanted one kind of food, Mum wanted something else, and I wanted something different again. So she's already cooking three different meals. And without exception, Dad would come in, and as the food was put on the table, he would not be sat down. He would walk by me and he would literally put his face about an inch from my dinner and say, "What have you got then?" And it triggered me. That really, I'm sorry, it just did. It was like, "Dad, that's so rude." I would never do that with him. I wouldn't do that with anybody. It's just rude. My mum decided in the end, she said, "Right, we're eating at different times." So I actually had my dinner when I came home from school, and then he had his. And then later on, I might have a snack or something. But honestly, I think it's just how people are. They must feel that they're missing out on something. Kim likes to look at the watch when exercising. He likes to have a look at it. That makes sense when you're exercising. What I could do is turn off the theatre mode when I'm exercising. That would work because it's fairly simple. It's literally just swipe up and tap it. Oh, it's cinema mode, not theatre mode. But I call it church mode, so it doesn't really matter, does it? Right, let's let it get quiet. I've turned it off now. So you go bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, it does. Yeah, that would work. But once that started happening at church, I must admit, I just put it on cinema mode and be done with it. And I'm quite happy with that. CQ, Deb, CQ. "You don't bother looking at somebody else's watch. Doesn't concern me what's on there." Which, exactly. I can only assume, you know, like an Apple Watch and an iPhone and an iPad are the latest, greatest must-haves. And if somebody hasn't got one and you have, there's FOMO going on, fear of missing out. So they want to ask questions because, I mean, particularly the people I'm thinking of at church don't like to have to say, they don't like to be forced into a position to say, "I don't know." They like to be the go-to guru for everything. So if they can ask questions of me, I mean, my dad used to be like that. He was a menace. He was an amateur radio guy, as you know, hence CQ Deb. And a lot of them made their own cables. And it was hugely less expensive. Honestly, you could make a cable for maybe £2. But if you go in a radio store to buy one, you could be paying 80. It was ridiculous. But Dad just did not have the dexterity, the fingers, to be able to do it. He was a big, strong guy, you know, touching 6 foot and built like that. And given his job when he was younger, he worked in the fields initially when he was about 15, picking potatoes and stuff. And then he got promoted to driving and delivering them. And then he ended up as the transport manager running the entire operation. So he just did not have the dexterity or the experience to be able to do that with a soldering iron. Me, on the other hand, brought up on it. So he would say, "If I buy the bits, can you make me a cable?" But he wanted to have, again, his face about an inch from the business end of the soldering iron. So if one of his radio guys said, "Oh, what did you do with that cable?" he could actually tell them, although he didn't actually do it. So I think it really is fear of missing out, fear of having to say, "I don't know," or "I can't do that." Therefore, they're in your face trying to work out vicariously how an Apple Watch works so that they can say, "Oh, yes, well, what you want to do is," because they need to be the hero. Need to be the hero syndrome. Oh, my dad had that big style. Much to my mother's annoyance, because she really was a hero. Oh, dear. Kim says she may ask if the watch works underwater or some other feature, but you don't look at the face. Exactly. That to me is a little bit invasive of your personal space, but I think it's absolutely fine to say, "What model is it? You know, do you like it? What would you change about it?" That's conversation. It's when they're like uncomfortably close, or they're saying like, "What does that number there mean?" Because, you know, can you imagine that it's your step count and it's like 50? You have to say, "Oh, yeah, that's the number of hours I've exercised in the last 2 days, that." Because sometimes, you know, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I look at my total steps. And honestly, it's like 1,500. And I think, "I didn't sleep well last night, did I? Look at that." And other times I wake up and it's like 200. And I thought, well, at least I've had a good night's sleep. So I think it is a little bit personal to ask about calories, hours stood, things like that. Could just be me. I think it depends. I think it depends if it's a trigger. And the thing is, another thing, asking the question's one thing, but you know how some people, you'll know these people, the ones that ask the question and then give you the look, the judgmental look of either it's too much or not enough. Honestly, it doesn't matter what you do, there'll be the person that thinks it's not enough or it's too much. So it could be something like not enough exercise, but too many calories. Not enough reading of books, but too many hours watching videos. You know, they're not in a position to judge, but, you know, hey, they're judging. Those kind of people. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. I haven't got a use for it on a phone, personally. And I think it's already there up to a point. If you want to go into the settings and tell it never to turn off the screen and prop it up, you're done. What's the problem? But that's the latest in the rumours. I really need to leave the rumours alone, don't I? But you know, they're such fun because you think, nah, Apple are never going to do that. Never. You just think that's a good idea. But it's not. But we shall have to wait and see. It could be as early as next month. But I don't think it would be the watch, because the watch hasn't been out that long. It's much more likely to be the iPad Pro, the one they should have brought out last year. Because the one they brought out last year only had the LiDAR camera, if you remember. Jonathan and I were all geared up to buy one. Then we went into lockdown. Apple decided 2 weeks into lockdown, here's a new shiny iPad. And Jonathan and I are like, yeah, don't feel right to buy one now. Feels a bit icky. I said, it does, doesn't it? Let's not buy one. And we didn't. If there had been huge changes, we probably would. But the next, because we didn't buy the last one, we're in a very strong position to buy the next one, aren't we? My biggest fear will be they'll bring out a 15-inch and I'll be like, do I want a 15-inch iPad? I can't make my mind up. I can't. When the same model I've got, so the 2018, November 2018, 11-inch and 12.9-inch came out. I went for the 11-inch, and my rationale was, I've already got two 12.9-inch iPads, and I love the 10.5 so much, I'll go for the 11. And it's a decision I've never regretted. But I went out to a meeting. It's quite farcical, actually. It was Mike's fault. We're on this committee thing, but there's two levels to the committee. There's the general committee, and there's the board, the directors. Mike is one of the directors. I'm on the committee. He says there's a meeting tomorrow, so out we went. Gets there, it was of the board. So I said, I'll go and wait in the car. I thought, you muppet, Mike. So anyway, it was no, stay in here, it's fine. Which worked out well, actually, because they were actually going to undercharge for something, and I said that was a terrible idea. But this guy was sat there with his iPad and he was making notes. And I was thinking, you know, it was the same as mine. And I actually had my iPad in my hand at that point. And I realised as I got closer, no, it was the 12.9. So I think the newer 12.9s are a lot more compact than Rev 1 and Rev 2. But a 15-inch, could they make that you'd be tempted by it? And if so, I think if I went for the 15-inch, I'd probably go for the smaller one as well. Because to me, they're totally different devices for totally different jobs. I was in the market for an iPad mini if it supported the pencil. When they finally brought it out supporting the pencil, it was pencil one. And I thought, well, I really wanted pencil two support. Plus the fact they tinkered with the memory. So it ended up you were paying the same for half the memory, which again, utterly, utterly, utterly ridiculous. So I left that one be. But I do think there's a benefit to having something that's quite compact and easy to make notes on. They're not my final notes. They are my initial notes and just my initial notes. And they're not pretty at all. I use GoodNotes. I did head over to Notability, if you remember, when GoodNotes needed Catalina and I did not have Catalina. But I'm back with GoodNotes. on the beta program. Can't say any more, but trust me, GoodNotes is where it's at. Can't say any more than that. No more than that. But those notes are like just scraggy notes as far as I'm concerned. I would then, once I've been, I make notes like that on a video and try not to stop the video to make the notes. Just scribble down what I can scribble down, then go through the video again, filling in the notes. But for me, for Mike, it's enough for him if he can find the notes. Tell me how you guys go. If you've made notes on something, do you have a single place that you put those notes later? So if they're in GoodNotes, do you save out a PDF and put that in a specific place? Because I'm obsessive. I know I won't find those notes. They'll either be in a notebook of their own about a topic, or they'll be in a notebook that I have one notebook per year, and that's where all my stuff goes in. So by doing it like that, it's a bit like a bullet journal that you know that will last the year, because you just keep adding pages. And then I'll put like pages in and links in, so I know what's where, but they're still scrappy notes. So I type them up and I bring organization to my notes, and then I know exactly where they are, and I probably over-organise them. You'll see this on Friday, because finally, you know, the 4 hours I had set aside last week, yeah, to build the thing in Notion. Notion had a moment yesterday, but he's had a very good day today. So I have now got in there for your enjoyment, something that I can show you that I've actually done and the different ways that you could approach it. But I particularly like to put my notes somewhere else when I've done. But I do like having handwritten notes when I'm going through something, because it's just faster. If I'm typing as I'm watching it, I'm trying to make sense of it, and I have to stop the video, and I don't want to. Right, let's catch up over here. Kim has no fear saying I don't know. You all well know, but that's a sign of maturity. The people who do not want to say no are the type of people who take a job on, make a complete hash of it, and then somebody else has to fix it. So if I'm talking to somebody about something, so we had this guy in to do the windows. Mum couldn't do with a million people in to do a job. She wanted like just one or two people in. It's all she could cope with. She was like me, but on steroids when it came to people. So, I mean, there was a neighbour who moved in about 18 years before she died, and she'd never seen Mum. Mum did go out, but she went out in the car. You would never find Mum like meandering around the garden. This neighbour had said, I never actually saw you, Mum. The thought was hysterical. But she wanted one guy, or two at max. So this guy came and he actually said, I'm not great with brick walls. And that was the guy, if you remember, where Mum was trying to explain to him what she wanted and he wasn't getting it. And I sent Mike out with our very first digital camera about 5:30 in the morning. And I said, just go across the road and take straight on pictures at like 6 foot intervals. And I will put a panorama together, and then I will mock up the wall that she wants. And I did. And once he'd got it, I mean, if he hadn't have said that, if he'd have just started building, then it would have gone wrong. But he was brave enough, mature enough to say, I'm not great with brick walls. So I knew that he was going to need a little bit more help. I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Absolutely. And when you first got your watch, you didn't realise it added steps for restless sleep. You thought you were sleepwalking around the house. That's classic. No, I think it's disturbed sleep. Because sometimes, like this morning, I woke up and I was really hot. And I must have been tossing and turning. Probably, I mean, I don't have much of the bed at the moment, do I? So the other day, I went to bed and it was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. Mike would be getting up at 5. So 2 o'clock bedtime's early for me. But Lola was in the bed. So I was like hung out of the bed with the blanket on my feet. And when I woke up, when they got up at 5 o'clock, I looked at my watch and I had done 200 steps. By the time I woke up, about 9 o'clock, so they got up at 5 and disappeared out to, you know, the garden for a walk and breakfast and stuff. By the time I woke up at 9, I was at 2,500. So clearly, I'd just been tossing and turning for 4 hours. Oh, so Anthony would be tempted, but it might be a bit heavy. Oh, it'd be the thinnest one ever, Anthony. Be like a piece of paper. But I agree with you. I was thinking it might be a little bit awkward. Like Tracy said, it's like a tray. It could possibly be a little bit big. I don't know. I mean, I've been the one that's been saying a 17-inch iPad. I think to do a 15 or a 17, they'd have to make the frame a heck of a lot sturdier than the frame is right now. I'm just seeing that for creatives, which is where Apple have driven it, that screen size is fantastic. I mean, if you imagine me doing a demo on an iPad of an Affinity app, would you choose to do it on an 11 or would you choose to do it on the 12.9? And if you want to see what you're doing, probably the 12.9. So I have to think about that as well. So if there was a 15, it would be amazing for demos. I can see me heading that way, whether I want to or not. Kim's notes generally go into a project. That's good. That is good because at least you know where they are. And I love that idea because then you can archive the project and everything goes with it. So this thing I've got where the notes are in a GoodNotes notebook that is the 2021 GoodNotes notebook, that's not the place to put them. But I don't consider them part of what would be archived with the project. To me, they're scrappy little notes. You know this thing that the book club with the how to take smart notes? I think it's that. They are rough notes. And while you could archive them with the project, you don't need to. And if you did archive them with the project, it would take you right back to the beginning of your understanding of it, whereas you probably have better notes that you've typed up after you've gone through it 3 times. So I deliberately don't put scrappy notes in there. I probably go over things maybe 2 or 3 times. Well, hopefully you'll see this on Friday. I've taken a course that I did in 2018 and I had the stuff in folders. I had the notes. I had stuff in folders and I've added it to Notion. And now it's in Notion. I'm like, this is just a million times better. There's courses that I've had in Notion since while they were live. So I did a whole thing over 3 days in September. And that's always been in Notion. It started life in there and I did everything in there. That's one I think I'll probably take you through actually building. That would probably make sense if I did that. Just to show you the different ways that you can kind of do it. But I love the project-based thing. Is that GoodNotes 5? I believe it is. Let me have a look. It's the latest version of GoodNotes, that's for sure. Let's have a look. Come on. Don't die on me now. Yes, GoodNotes 5 on the iPad and the desktop. I stopped using it only because I was in the middle of the beta program for GoodNotes 5 before it was released. And in the middle of the beta program, so obviously at this point I had it on my iPads and my iPads were fine, but my desktop was on High Sierra and I didn't want to put Catalina on it. There's too much would have broken at that stage. And all of a sudden the GoodNotes client on desktop went Catalina only. And I'm like, well, that's not going to work. So rather than do the Catalina thing, I didn't have time at that point to do the Catalina thing. It was far too soon. I switched to Notability. Notability had some lovely features and it was the features you kind of noticed first. So as you're writing in Notability, that's really nice, like that. Did not like the fact that the pages scrolled on, but I could live with it. But there was just things like, I expected there to be a button where I could reorganise the pages, just reorder them. No chance, nothing. I thought that's odd. But I stuck with it and I stuck with it until I went to Catalina. And once I'd done the Catalina thing, I thought, oh, GoodNotes. So I installed it and by then they'd moved on a little bit with the beta program. And I haven't looked back since. So I have gone back to GoodNotes. Ooh, the bigger the better for Renee. That's good to know. I am thinking a 17-inch at some point. I swear they will. A Surface Studio-sized iPad with your current model of iPad 12.9. You're not in the market currently. The Studio Surface looked really nice. Was that... That's not the Pro, is it? It's... What's the size of the screen? Is it about 10? Because I love the format of Mike's Surface. He's got a Surface. I think he's had it 2 and a bit years now. He's done webinars on it, all kinds of stuff. Just on you know, what we would consider to be like a toy, an iOS device. It's amazing. I particularly wanted a Surface when I was using OneNote. So he let me try the pen, the pencil on it. And it wasn't bad. But what I did find very difficult was the size of the screen on the Surface Pro with Windows on it. It felt like you couldn't actually manipulate the interface that well, that it was a desktop interface on a mobile device. Now, I know it can be both, but it just didn't gel for me as much as I thought it would. And then when I didn't have, when I wasn't using OneNote as much, it didn't really matter. Deb would go for the 15. And yeah, I think we might, you know, we might do this. You have the Magic Keyboard as well. Great laptop replacement. I think it depends what you're doing with it as to whether you can replace a laptop with it. It wouldn't work for me. I could do certain video edits, but I couldn't do screen recordings of desktop apps. So it wouldn't replace a laptop for me. I've got a laptop as well. But I would, particularly this last year, when I bought the laptop, it was November 2018. And I had literally 2 weeks before it arrived been to York for the weekend. And I'd had to take my venerable 2012 MacBook Air. This was the one I was trying to upload for you guys, if you remember. And I was sat outside in the freezing cold at minus 10 degrees to try and get it uploaded. So that I bought in November 2018, it was intended, you know, that it would be my go-to machine when we went away. Hasn't had that much use in the last year. I use it as a secondary device during the lives, and I wouldn't be able to do what I did without it. But in terms of actually sitting working at it, not as much as I would have expected. When it's nice and warm and Lola wants to lounge in the garden, it's the one that I would take downstairs to the extension and then let her mooch in the garden outside. Mike only has, he's got a laptop from work and he's got his iPad, but he doesn't have like a dedicated keyboard like that. I do have a dedicated keyboard for my iOS devices, and it works on any of them. It doesn't matter which it is because it's not actually attached to it. I'll find the link because I think these keyboards are brilliant. It concerned me a little bit at first. Now, what would it be? Keyboard. I reckon you're probably not going to find it now because I think it's an older one now. I do believe there is a new version of this keyboard out. Hang on, there's the one I've got. So at least you'll be able to see it. That's the one. It's got this kind of track at the back of it so you can stand anything up. And it does work via Bluetooth, but it also has its own little dongly thing as well. But I was concerned because the keys on it are round. So it's a Logitech keyboard. There's the link. And the other thing was, I think the function key, the control key is in a different place. I would want the function key on the other side of that. But it links in with 3 different Bluetooth devices at once. And actually, it's not at all bad. Not at all bad. I think, is this one the newer one? No, that hasn't got a stand on it. I thought there was a newer model. But without the stand, it would be useless. So I would really need the stand on it. Let's have a look. Is there a newer one with the stand? Because that one isn't even available to purchase. There's the one that Simon had with the Craft keyboard. Simon had, but he replaced that, if you remember, with the Matias like I've got. Same one Tracy bought. No, I don't think there is a newer version of that. It's just not available. But I like that for my iPads because it will take more than one iPad, depending on the size. It'll take the phone. It'll take an Android tablet. It really doesn't matter. You can have two in it at once, and it weighs about 15 stone. So there's no way it's going to tip up, no matter how many iPads you put in it. I actually really love that keyboard. So that's the one I use when I'm using my standing desk, which isn't a full standing desk. It's a desk with a desk on it. Like one of these things that you would sit down and work at on the sofa. Only I never sit down and work on the sofa. I think we've got a sofa. I think it's in the front room somewhere. It'll be in the room with the TV that we never use. That one. So I actually stand in front of a normal desk, but put this like smaller desk on the top of it. And that's my standing desk. And that's the keyboard that I use on it. You want a 27-inch iPad, do you, Paul? The day will come. The day will come. A 12-inch screen. It didn't look like a 12-inch. Am I thinking of the Surface Go? Because I thought when they brought that out, it was so inexpensive, it'd be worth trying. But then it didn't run the full version of Windows. And you could put the full version of Windows on and then it would never run again. So I steered well away from that as well. Ooh, Deb uses GoodNotes with PDF genealogy using family tree notebooks. Run-of-the-mill notes, putting one note under titbits. Good idea. Whatever works for anybody. But I think we're all looking for like the Holy Grail, aren't we? That we're going to find a system and it's going to be absolutely perfect. I think we need to face facts. That's never going to happen. I mean, the other day when, yesterday when Notion had its moment, it was working fine unless you wanted to duplicate something. And then for reasons best known to itself, it threw all its toys out of the pram. And I, by this stage, had tried duplicating like the same table five times. Goes into the page today to find all the tables that I duplicated all there. And I'm thinking, why are there five of these? And then I thought, oh, good grief. It didn't actually succeed at some point, did it? Apparently so. But what I was doing, particularly after Notion went down on Friday, because yes, I can recreate what I'm doing, but it's things like there's so much that goes on a Friday. And I feel like you shouldn't be aware of it. You guys watching it should not be aware of all that needs to happen to make it work. You know, I should just rock up and it'd be fine. And yes, I'll say, well, you know, Notion's being down, but that should not impact in any way whatsoever what I'm about to deliver. And of course, if I haven't got my notes, then I've either got to wing it, which I can do. But it's easier to wing it if somebody else is doing the production work and I'm doing my own production. So it's me that has to, when the screen changes from me to Mike or the slides come up, it's me doing all of that. I just feel I don't have the bandwidth to try and remember what was in the notes that have disappeared, basically. So, yes, I could go through it or I could put a piece of paper on the desk. But, you know, right back at the beginning of After Hours, we didn't have the slides. And we did have a running order on a piece of paper on the desk. And I remember one particular day, something got missed because it's too easy to miss. So although I can recreate the notes, it's not ideal because I can't remember every single line of what I put in. And the reason that that is there is for me to glance at it on an iPad so I know I'm not missing anything out. And that's very difficult when it's gone from under you. So that was why I went through all the notes apps I had. I went through the whole lot. And there wasn't one, apart from Obsidian, that it was local. It could be synchronized, but it was local. And, you know, then the only jeopardous moment is if your local machine dies. But what I actually did with the data from Obsidian was put it into OneDrive, Dropbox, because in Dropbox, you can carry on working even if you've not got a connection. But it's backed up if you do. So that's why I stuck it in there. But there is, that's not perfect either, because the rest of the stuff is in Notion. So at some point, it's going to have to go into Notion. So I've accepted that there are just different stages with taking notes, and that I will put them, you know, so stage one, they're here. Stage two, I go through them again and refine, and then they move into the second place. And then maybe there's a third place that they go. And that's the essence of the smart note system, which I promised that I will cover, and I will. So I've just accepted it. Right. Have I looked at LumaFusion for video editing? Yes. And it's fantastic, as long as what you're trying to edit is on the iPad. But mine's going to be screen stuff that's on the Mac. So I could transfer it. I could have it in the cloud or whatever I wanted to do with it. But it wouldn't have been recorded on an iPad. So if I'd recorded the iPad screen and I wanted to do a quick demo, okay. If I'd recorded, like, what are we calling proper video these days? Like, I recorded Mike. We were away for the weekend, and on the way, it was like, oh, we've got a whole weekend off. I don't think we'd crossed the Wales border. We were heading to Wales for the weekend. I don't think we'd even crossed the border before Mike's phone rang. So he had the Bluetooth on. So he talked to this guy, and it was like, we need a promo video for this course. And Mike's like, yeah, I'll get you that on Monday. And the guy said, no, we need it today. And this was Friday lunchtime. And Mike just looked at me and I said, say yes, because we'd got enough kit with us to do it. But when we got to the hotel, we must have had the noisiest room on the planet. Don't even open the toilet door, because the internal extraction fan came on, which sounded like a Hercules aircraft taking off. So it's like, shut the door. You have to go in there in the dark. There was a boy racer outside. There was the footfall at the hotel. It was a nightmare. But the kit that we had with us was okay. And part of what I recorded, it was very meta, this. Mike was making a promo video for an Excel course. And I was at the time making a course about how to get the best out of a microphone. So because we were forced into this situation where Mike was under the quilt on the bed. So what we'd done was we'd put a chair in front of the bed, and that had the kit on it. And then he knelt down on the floor. So he was facing the back of the chair, facing the bed. And I pulled the quilt all the way over him. So all you could see were these two little feet sticking out at the end. And I'm laughing as I'm taking video of Mike looking like that, because that fed into the course I was doing. So he ended up with the material that he'd recorded. I think it was on two iPhones and an iPad. That was a perfect job for LumaFusion. But for the stuff I do, it starts life on the Mac and it stays on the Mac. Depends on the video, but it's a very good app. Oh, the bridge keyboard. I remember you getting the bridge keyboard, Deb. I well remember that. Weren't we all waiting for it to arrive for about 10 days? And then there was much glee when it arrived. So it's nice and only lap board. I always think when I take a case off the iPad is stunning, isn't it? But I just can't leave it without a case. And then I see some of these cases, particularly the ones that have keyboards on, and they're just bulk it up like three times, and then it feels like a laptop. It feels like, you know, you've got this beautiful device and you've just glued a keyboard to it. Whereas with my MacBook Air, like, you open the lid, the keyboard's there. There's also a trackpad there as well, but it doesn't work for me. But then I don't use my iPad in that way. Most of my iPads are on a stand and they're doing a job. So either I'm watching something on it, I'm recording something on it, whatever I'm doing, it's not the work that I would do if I was on my Mac. And I think for a lot of people, it is. And that's why that suits the way you work way better than it suits the way I work. Just me. Even if I was away, I'd still take the laptop, because that weekend we went away and Mike's had eyes like saucers. He didn't have a laptop. So his first thought was, I can't produce a promotional video for a course if I've got a laptop. He had his iPad, he had his iPhone, but he didn't have things like a tripod or a decent microphone or anything like that. Now, luckily, I did. And he said, it's all right. I'm going to put the slides together in Keynote on my iPad, 12.9-inch iPad. After 10 minutes, he was murderous. And I said, Mike, will you just take this MacBook Air and do it on there? And he said, thank you. It's things like, I mean, you do have Keynote on there. And to present a presentation via Keynote on the iPad is magic. There's no other word for it. What you can do in terms of presenting is just magic. Producing the presentation? Heck no. Because Mike wanted to have like 9 images put in. You go to the photo library, get the thing in the photo. It was just too long-winded. So the laptop won. Hello, baby girl. How'd you get on? Did you see dogs?
We did.
Did you play with dogs?
No, it was across the road.
Oh, it was socially distanced dogs.
It growled at you, didn't it?
Enjoy your call, Paul. Right, let's have a look up here. iMovie isn't too shabby either. iMovie's pretty good. It is. And I don't particularly use Final Cut Pro or anything like that. There are lots of very good editors out there. There are even free editors. You're quite finished.
I've got to make a video on iMovie.
Have you?
Yeah.
Who for?
Work.
Oh.
It's a long story.
That'll be interesting.
iMovie on iOS.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. This is going to be fun. When was the last time you opened iMovie on iOS?
Never.
There you go.
I haven't even got it installed, I don't think.
Oh, lovely, lovely. So Kim would rather have a MacBook Air than a large iPad. I think I could probably find a use for the iPad, but I think you do need to sit down and think through what it is you're going to do. And, you know, sometimes you can do that and you can buy the equipment and you're all ready to go. And then a global pandemic hits and you didn't really need that laptop because you're not going nowhere. But you can't predict that. That you can't predict. Shaking once, disappeared, didn't work. Only scrolling up to the menu bar and clicking restores it temporarily. No, moving it usually brings it back for me. I'll watch mine over the next day or so because it does drive me mad. Kim mostly uses the iPad for reading things or watching videos. Can't do major work. Don't know if that would be different with a keyboard or not. I mean, if it's just typing, but I think we all have our own ways of working. And if the way that you work is at a computer, it could be a mindset. It could actually be something physical. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've got a Dentastick. Is it a Kim approved Dentastick? Oh, look at her face. Come on, give me a paw. Don't just waft it. Good girl. Oh, look at that. Oh, yes, quite happy with that. A Kim-approved Dentastick. It's her favourite treat. Oh, she got both paws round that. Don't know what permanent solution is nor why it's suddenly happening. Could be an update. Have you done some kind of update? Have you got some kind of utility installed that's trying to help you? That happened to me once. I did an update of something that had been installed for ages and they'd added a feature and enabled it without asking or telling me. And all of a sudden, all my windows were snapping all over the place and I couldn't even work out which app was doing it. So it could be something you've updated. Have a look at what you've updated recently. Off topic from Tony, do you think the affinity books that go on to back order now will have the new updates in them? I would doubt it, but I don't know, Tony. I think if they're going to have updated the books, they would say they've updated the books, so it would be like a second revision or even a second edition. If they did that with the publisher books right now, there would be heck to pay, because some people have only received them in the last 2 weeks. Like Tracy. Tracy's disappeared. Did the first one ever turn up? So I don't think so. It would be nice if they did, but if they want to start trying tricks like that, then they really do need to make them PDFs. That is the only way that that is going to work. I want a PDF. Tracy wants a PDF. We all want PDFs. I don't mind paying for the book as well, but I'd like a PDF. And they don't do PDFs. So I don't think so. Renee loves the iPad. Nice to have it in bed. Great Netflix experience. I do sometimes take mine to bed. Generally, though, not to use at night, but to use in the morning. So when I'm like half awake and think, yeah, I should probably do something, then I will probably do it on the iPad before I get up. Anthony's used iMovie on the iPad for the occasional quick and dirty video when you've not had access to your iMac. I did one video, I think, on iMovie, and it was the one of Maya in the garden when he was howling. And it was I did the whole thing on the iPhone 4S. I totally agree, Tracy. That's the way they could do it. They could give you updates that are PDFs, but you've got to have the original book. Oh, the first one's still missing in action. It'd be interesting if that ever turns up. And there are some kinds of artwork you find easier on the iPad. Yeah, but I mean, if you're drawing, absolutely. And sometimes it's the change in physicality helps you. So I think there's arguments both ways. We all work however we prefer to work. What I will say is sometimes, I mean, I'm using an app at the moment, literally on pain of death, cannot say which app, because it's in beta. And I've been using this beta for ages and it's been rock solid. And the last update, it's appalling. So I'm trying to work with it and I'm thinking I don't have the old one. So I don't have installed on this machine the non-beta version. And I said to Mike, I'm going to have to install the non-beta version because this is shocking. And it's got some kind of bug in it where you touch the interface and everything just kind of explodes. All the windows and stuff move all over the place and you have to corral them back together. So I'm thinking, as I'm doing a job where it's like, this can't go wrong, I'm going to have to install the non-beta version. So as I'm doing, or as I'm thinking that, I clicked on one of the windows, and like a sub-window opened that I could pin to the screen. And I thought, for crying out loud, now I've got this thing out, And as I'm thinking about it, I thought, actually, I could close the entire window that's got a million mini windows in it and just leave this kind of popover on the screen. And that's actually better. And I probably wouldn't have come to that conclusion without having to work around the bug that's currently in it. So there's an example of, like, you know, you've got a situation, you've got a workflow for it. You've always done it that way. You are comfortable doing it that way. You are happy doing it that way. And then something breaks and you are forced to try an alternative. And actually, the alternative is better. I mean, a bigger situation where that happened was, of course, Keynote, which it ate slides. I wrote it off as a one-off. Part of that was actually in the middle of the Devon Think series. So I have a presentation in Keynote that's missing half the slides. In fact, it's missing about 90% of the Devon Think slides that I used on the night. I haven't had the time to recreate it. That was the first one that actually ate the slides. When the second one happened, I thought, I'm going to have to seriously think about doing something. And obviously, the obvious thing to do at that stage would have been to use PowerPoint. But I loathed PowerPoint in my memory of using PowerPoint, honest to God, 16 years ago. It was so painful. I did not want to try that again. And I'd never really used PowerPoint to any great extent on the Mac. The third time it happened, I had no choice. And having no choice drove me to PowerPoint. And yes, there are things that PowerPoint does not do that Keynote did. But there's a heck of a lot of more things that PowerPoint does that Keynote didn't. And I would never, ever have found that but for the pain point of Keynote eating my slides. So I can't actually say that was a bad thing, although I did at the time, didn't I? And bad words were said, weren't they?
Bad words were said.
Look at Lola's face. Yes, yes, Mummy used bad words, didn't she?
I said that at work the other day. Bad words were said.
They're working in tech. It's a never-ending source of fun for me. Oh, and heartburn. One and the same. I agree with you, Tracy. I do start mind mapping a lot on the iPad because it's kind of tactile. But pretty much 99% of the time, sat in front of my Mac. But that wouldn't stop me picking up an iPad if need be, you know, having the tray next to me that you desperately want to see, Tracy. They're just letter racks. But they do look amazing with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 iPads in them and 2 laptops. Only taking up about 14 inches of space. So I couldn't work without those things. Absolutely. Is she now headbutted your water?
No, she's trying to squeeze in between the chair and the helmet.
What are you doing, girl? Shall we let them hear what came with your new toy? We got her a spare collar because she's only got one. And it came with this on it. She was less than impressed, thought it was a cat collar. So we had to take it off. Oh, it was nice though. It sounded like Tinkerbell every time she moved. Anyway, no, it had to go. Just looked at me daggers. Would Mike use OneNote over Apple Notes? I don't think Mike's... Oh, hang on, he does use Apple Notes. He's filling Lola's water bowl at the moment. He will be back in a second. But I know at work he uses OneNote, and I think he has used OneNote. He's used both of those, but I don't know what his rationale is for, oh, I'll put it in OneNote, or, oh, I'll put it in Apple Notes. I've never used Apple Notes other than like a demo. OneNote I did. I used OneNote for about 2 years, and everything went in there. My problem with OneNote is that they didn't seem during that 2 years to bring the Mac version anything like as up to speed as the Windows one. And every now and then, when the sync synced, it was amazing. When it didn't, you were suicidal because there wasn't anything that you could particularly do to force it to synchronize. There's a couple of utilities on the Mac that are fantastic when it comes to triaging OneNote files. Called Outline. One's called Outline and it's brilliant. But how Mike makes a distinction between where he puts what is beyond me. I mean, he also has, although I can't criticise that because so do I. We also have a notebook in front of us. Mine was an Arc notebook that I got from Staples before they closed down. What we've done from Amazon since then is buy like a back cover and a front cover and you can get the rings separate. So he does have a paper notebook as well. We both find the paper notebook thing. Just grab the paper notebook and put stuff in there. My problem if I was doing that, though, with something like the running order for Friday night. If I don't have time to take it from where it is to where it should be, you know, like if Notion has a moment. Working from a paper notebook during a live show is a no-no because it's one more thing you've got to have on the desk. So surrounding me when I'm going live, I've got 2 microphones. I've got an audio interface. I've got the Stream Deck. I've probably got about 3 iPads and probably a laptop in front of me. It's just one more thing. You got a question there from Tony about OneNote.
Would Mike use OneNote over Apple Notes? That's a tough question.
I said you'd use both.
Because one syncs with iCloud and one syncs when it feels like it. Lesser of two evils. I do actually use Apple Notes. For just taking a quick note, I find it faster. I have actually got Apple Notes on my dock thing on my iPhone.
I'm not at all sure I've got it installed, but carry on. I definitely don't use it, ever. There you go, finish that off. So, how have we managed, Mike? You know these people that do these bullet journal things? Because you can do that in OneNote. Where they put hydrate and they're trying to drink 8 glasses of water a day. And I'm presuming it's 8 small glasses of water. Mike brought in 3 2-litre bottles of water and they've all gone. So I seem to have managed to have drunk 5 litres of water. I don't have a problem drinking. Not when it's water.
I don't have a problem drinking. Polished off a bottle of wine over the weekend.
You did. You were very silly over the weekend. I remember that. What's your use case, Tony? Do you use both? Do you have a preference? Does anybody use Apple Notes? One of my problems with it was, you know, obviously for handwriting, it's great. But if I've handwritten notes, it would be great to get them out of there. in a scalable format. And they're not vector. So they're all jagged JPEGs that you get out of it. And I think that's really bizarre because most of the others are not. They're
talking
scalable
of,
vectors.
Of handwritten, does anyone ever use that thing Apple brought out? Scribble.
Scribble annoys me. Can you turn it off?
Don't know.
I find it annoying when I've got the Apple Pencil in my hand and I want to search for something in an app. And when I tap on the search, you know, you don't get the keyboard at the bottom. You get this thing. And yes, I have been able to like write a word in, but it's slower than typing it. So I can't say I'm a great fan of that myself. But if you've got the pencil in your hand, then you're pretty much
I tried it to say I've tried it.
Oh, we all did that. How does this work? Right. Tony runs Apple Notes to run the whole of his customer workflow. That sounds fabulous. That sounds like it's working. Anthony might use it for taking down a phone number or an address, but not for real work. Do you know what I do for that? Any time, wherever we are, it's like, oh, I'll give you the phone number. I just take a picture of it because I know with that. I mean, technically speaking, your Apple Notes are syncing to iCloud. iCloud sync, I did it again, didn't I? And you should be able to get that on another device should your phone disappear down the toilet before you get home. But I know if I take a photo of it, it's automatically gone up to the last 1,000 photos. So I know that I will have a copy of that. So I just take a picture. So Tony says it's great, but you want to get the info into a database, come the end of which is a no-no because you're working. And Renee is using Apple Notes very much. They're all Touch ID protected and you find it cool. I think with Apple Notes, it's come on leaps and bounds from what it was originally. And Apple kind of have a bit of an issue. You know, like Apple Maps, it was appalling at the beginning. And I think if you tried it and you thought, no, I'm sticking with Google, you probably won't go back and try it again. And I think Apple Notes is similar. Now, having said that, I wanted to say, and I do mean say, so I wanted to go into Google Maps and say, give me the directions to Pete's house. And you couldn't do it. It was like, I don't know that. But that cured itself totally when I moved my contacts to Google. So I now can say to Google Maps, you know, direct me to Pete's house. And it will. So if you're using Apple Notes, you're in the Apple part of it. I think if you've already moved your notes somewhere else and you go back to look at Apple Notes, I just don't think you would. But if you did, I think you'd be presently surprised that the improvements have been great. I just think it's probably not quite there yet. Tell you who's given them a huge hand, though. Evernote, because that monstrosity that they've brought out that doesn't do virtually anything has kind of put it more on a par with Apple Notes than it was before. Does anybody still use Evernote? I've got audio clips in it that I can't use. I have to download them to play them, which is ridiculous. Apple could, if they wanted to, make their software amazing. They just don't seem to want to make their software amazing. It's like incremental improvements. Little by little by little by little, they'll get there. Oh, what fun talking to you guys. Anyway, we're going to head off. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, how could it be the middle of the week already? Well, tomorrow it will be. And we will be back with you then. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.